Welcome to the Defense and Aerospace Report's weekly cyber report sponsored by Northrop Grumman. I'm your host, Vago Maradian. This week, part two of my interview with Katie Arrington, the Chief Information Security Officer for Acquisition at the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition and Sustainment and the architect of the Cybersecurity Maturity Model Certification Process to improve the cybersecurity of the U.S. defense industrial base. The goal, of course, is to certify companies across the supply chain to certify other companies as compliant with five certification levels required by DoD. Here's part two of our conversation. What are the teeth in this? Because at the end of the day, one of the big questions that comes up that folks ask is, you know, a lot of the cyber breaches we've had, some of it is sloppiness, right? Human sloppiness, others or poor cyber hygiene. Some of it is for a lack of investment. You talked about that piece. We've set these new standards. How much do they cost to implement? How do they factor into bid and proposal and what have you, right? I mean, just the cost of doing business. And what are the penalties for this at the end of the day for companies that just don't abide at any of the levels? And how do you punish some very, very big contractors that may err, right? I mean, what's the right way to do this so you have the right, you know, rewards, but also the right punishments to get to where you want to go? Because some of this has been poor hygiene and poor investment that have put us in a place where we're being compromised, especially, unfortunately, at smaller contractors that have access to very, very classified information. Folks may know Lockheed is more difficult to breach than a smaller contractor that may have access to that information that just hasn't invested as much as they should.
So it's on new contract awards. I've said it, and I don't know that industry has actually heard it. It's a go, no-go decision at contract award. You either are certified at the level required by the contract, or you don't get the work. I mean, I don't know how much, you know, more emphatic we can be on that, and no waivers. We're not playing in the waiver game. So if the contract has it, the to be awarded work, you have to get certified at the level of the work required. Now, contracts will have varying levels of CMMC levels, because certain work will only require certain levels, right? Level one, level two, level three, four, or five. But you know, it's really it's to punish bad behavior. And I wouldn't say I don't want to use the word punish. I would say to get everybody understanding of where their risk is. It's a go no go decision. You either are awarded or you're not awarded. On the secondary part to that is that we have CARs now available, because cybersecurity is now part of the contractor business system, so that when we come out and there will be audits, spot audits done, we will do, in certain instances, continuous monitoring. If we see that a contractor, you know, because the internet, it tends to be very telling, isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing, and we have evidence, we will issue CARs. There will also, I'm sure, be instances of false claims. So there is a great deal that we're doing to help not, you know, I don't want to say police this, but to ensure that we are doing the right things at the right time for our contractor community. But with that, what I don't want to happen, and what we're doing our ardent best to do, is that I want the community to share threat. We have to get better at sharing threat information, and we need to look at threat not as a, you know, and I say this, and I am now an SES for the Department of Defense. So I want to be very mature in how I say this, but I don't want threat to be a four-letter word, right? I want that if you are seeing something, you are getting hit, we need to educate each other, because the likelihood that if you're getting hit, I'm going to get hit. And how do we continue? I mean, that's been a big heightened push from Congress, from NSA, the great work that they're doing over there. Is how do we let each other know this is what's happening much more rapidly and efficiently, so they can protect themselves? Because I think that people misunderstand that if there's a new threat vector, a new TTP that the adversary is going out after, and you're protecting yourself with the good cyber hygiene, the likelihood that that will be effective, the risk gets bought down. So we need to, you know, the measures that we have to ensure that people are being compliant is they won't get awarded work if they're not. Once they're awarded work, if they do not comply, they will be issued CARs. They will be much more succinct, much more aggressive on those, because it affects more than just your company, right? If you're not living up to your requirements in the cyber certification, you're putting everyone in your supply chain at risk and you're putting the nation at risk. So we're going to be much more aggressive about those. But that's our way to put the teeth in it. And then the other part is, if people aren't, if they don't get certified, they won't be able to team, right? There isn't a prime that's going to get involved with a sub that they can't get certified. So it's a self, you know, I want to say it's, you know, a rising tide, you know, raises all boats. I think this tide is coming in, and the benefit in 5 years from now, maybe we'll all have grown as a commercial and as an industry about cyber hygiene, but this is how we're going to force the critical thinking and get it to where it needs to be, to not just protect the national defense, which is absolutely paramount, but understand that our supply chain is just as equal to the national defense. You are the national defense. And we have to do our utmost best to make sure that you are our suppliers, the partners are there. You're the ones we rely on. So this is a move to help you protect not only us, but yourselves.
CARs, for those people who are not acquisition savvy, or corrective action requests. Very briefly, what are the biggest challenges you see in terms of connecting what you want to do to the broader national cybersecurity agenda?
I love the way the DOD is. We are forcing function. I mean, the people nickname me blunt force trauma, but when Congress really wants something done, they put it through the Department of Defense, because we're the biggest buyer that the government has control over. So think about that. Ms. Lord, the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Sustainment, my boss, the Honorable Ellen Lord, has the purview of about $350 billion of buy a year. There aren't too many people in the world that can say that they're over that amount of money in purchasing, right, in acquisition. So Congress has a really easy way to make things, you know, move fast. And when they make the Department of Defense say, this is what we need to do. I would hearken 889B. If anybody listening doesn't know, that is a current, it's a FAR language change that bans certain products from our networks, Huawei, Hikvision, et cetera. The part B of it was, having industry, any partner that the U.S. government was doing business with, couldn't have those products in their contractor networks. DOD is the enforcers, right? We're the ones who are, and not to say other agencies aren't, but we buy more than most agencies. So it gets, you know, the rubber meets the road with us. So DMMC, the Department of Defense, we can determine the requirements of the contracts because we buy. DHS is a little bit different. They provide good guidelines on what you should do. So it's really hard for them to say, I require this, because that's not their, they don't have those authorities. So you're going to see it move through. And I think that because we're doing it for energy, right? The Department of Defense buys 1% of the national energy that we produce here in the United States. So the fact that we're putting that requirement on our energy companies, our energy partners, is going to push it through the Department of Energy, right? So it's the waterfall effect. How many contractors are only good or only using or working with the Department of Defense? Very few. So it's going to be that waterfall effect. And I think that as you see the Department of Defense move through this DFAR rule change, that it will become a FAR rule, which there already is a FAR rule about cybersecurity. It's 21.204. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but
I think we'll give you a pass on it.
Yeah, it's that's level one certification now. So there already is a FAR about cyber. It's level one certification. It just doesn't say to be certified. So it's DOD, I think, is going to set the tone. I think we already have. I think that the incredible collaboration right now in the whole of government between what we're doing with the Federal Acquisition Security Council, the FASC, how DHS, the CISA, NSA, we're all working together to figure out what are the best ways to go about this. So I think it becomes, you know, when you talk about amending Sarbanes-Oxley and you need to have cybersecurity in your filing, I think it really does change the game for everybody. One parting thought. CMMC is one piece of a great puzzle that has been, you know, I would say my boss, Ms. Lord, and Mr. Fahey, the Assistant Secretary for Acquisition, really have gone about reforming acquisition over the past 4 years, right? It's really been key. From the adaptive acquisition framework to, you know, a new way to look at how we acquire. You know, I applaud what Congress has done and Ms. Lord have been able to move with the, you know, the new color of money, per se, for software. But understanding that in all of that, this is CMMC is one piece, just one piece of a huge effort that the Department of Defense and the whole of government has been going through. We are all in this together, ladies and gentlemen. This is not just about DOD. This is really about our nation banding together to ensure democracy can survive from adversarial impact. So no, CMMC is one thing, supply chain illumination and how we're looking at supply chains, reshoring supply chains back to the United States and our allied partners, working to make sure that the foreign military sales are much more aggressive. And it's all an orchestra that is being led by the Department of Defense. And know that we hear you, we enjoy the collaboration, but know that CMMC is just one part. And I don't want it to fall off the radar by any means. It's important, but there's a lot more out there. And I applaud what this team has been doing, fearless leaders going forward, and we have done it in record time. So stay tuned, there's more to come.
Katie Arrington, thanks so much for spending so much time with us. We appreciate it. We look forward to having you back on again. Appreciate your passion. I appreciate the fact that you're not just admiring the problem and polishing the cannonball, but actually trying to get rounds on target. Look forward to talking again soon.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks again, Katie. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us this week. Please be sure to go to our website and check out past Cyber Report episodes, as well as our daily and weekly podcasts. Follow us on social media and sign up for our weekly newsletter to ensure you never miss the latest Defense and Aerospace Report commentary and analysis. And finally, a very special thanks to Northrop Grumman for their cyber sponsorship. Visit northropgrumman.com/cyber to learn more. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.